Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
The winning season starts with obedience. So if you were here a couple weeks ago, it's knowing who your enemy is. It's taking a stand against him. And if it's done correctly, it puts you in position. Anybody besides me love March Madness? Come on. It's an excuse to watch basketball all day, every day, all day long. I love March Madness. I remember 1985. I was, I don't know how old I was. I'm not going to tell you. But I remember 1985, the Final Four came to Rupp Arena. And it was Georgetown Hoyas, and they were playing the Villanova Wildcats. They called this game David and Goliath game. Georgetown had a massive team. I mean, they were so good. And they were expected to beat Villanova by just a ton. Well, something else happened that night. I'm not going to get ahead of myself, but the underdog, it was much like David. They looked overmatched. They looked invisible. They looked insignificant. Everybody had already written them off before the game had even started. I grew up on David and Goliath. Anybody ever heard the story, David and Goliath? Well, y'all got to hear this whole thing. Next week's another good story about David. But I grew up on the felt boards, you know, putting David up there, and he was fighting against the giant. But when we start talking about the battle between David and Goliath, as I said a couple weeks ago, two armies were standing on two hills. There was a valley in between. There was no action that was going on at the time. Why? Because there was Goliath standing out there. And what he was doing, he was 9 feet tall. He was a warrior. He was massive. And he 40 days, he taunted God's people. He cursed God. He called them cowards. He was doing all of this trash talking. And he said, choose one man to come out and fight against me. I'm telling you, we talked about this in your winning season. In your winning season, you might have to do number one, identify your giant. Come on, y'all got to listen to this. Take some notes too. In many seasons of our lives, even in our winning season, listen to me, even when somebody said they're in a winning season this morning, I said, praise God. But listen to the words of this message. Even in your winning season, you're still going to face some Goliaths. You're still going to face some giants in your life. And they may come in many forms. They may come as fear, sickness, addictions, broken relationships, financial pressure. Anybody feeling any financial pressure in the house? Doubt, and even a sin that seems too strong to overcome. Maybe your giant is standing before you, and he's been standing there for generations. Maybe there's a generational curse of rejection on your life. Maybe there's family issues that you've been going through. Maybe there's secrets. Maybe there's abandonment that you are going through each and every day. Maybe there's failure, and maybe there's a poverty mindset too. Had to come overcome that one. Or there is a situation or a circumstance or a person who stands before you daily and taunts you. What are these giants saying to you? You're not good enough. Come on, listen to me. You'll always be this way. Come on, that's the one that they want to play rehearsing in your mind. You'll always be this way. You're never, ever going to change. Or he may be standing in front of you saying, shouting threats and mocking your faith. Do you know our faith is being mocked in America right now? He's standing up as a giant mocking you against because you go to church and because you believe in Jesus. And he's daring you every single day to move forward, and we're stuck in fear. It was sent by the enemy to distract you, to intimidate you, and to, come on, just downright discourage you, because God has a destiny for each and every one of us. And he wants to block us by his intimidation, by the things that he says to us in our minds, in our hearts, and with the people around you. He wants to keep you from where God wants you to go or where he wants you to go. told myself to slow down. When you focus and when you meditate on the Goliath size, when you look at how well-trained he is and how unseemingly insurmountable or unbeatable he is, you will start to magnify your Goliath. You'll start to magnify your giant. You'll start to magnify your problem, and you'll reduce God to nothing. In your winning season, number two, you have to learn how to see your giant differently. They're there. You just got to look at them a little bit different. Goliath looked big, and he was. He was over 9 feet tall. He was massive. He was intimidating. He was experienced. He was a warrior. And the army of Israel was standing there, and they were cowering when they looked at him. Why? Because they were looking at Goliath and not God. Most of those soldiers had already heard from their fathers, their grandfathers, their ancestors, talking about how God had brought them into the promised land and how many battles and how many giants they had to fight against. Come on, they already won all those battles. They already knew that, but somehow this giant was standing, he was mocking, he was taunting, he was speaking to them, and they were listening because they were listening in fear. They forgot the God that brought them into the promised land. And it said, how many giants did they fight in the promised land? Come on. Y'all. When God looks small in your eyes, fear and doubt creep in. And what happens after that? Goliath starts to grow. A problem starts to grow. The thing in your life you've been battling starts to grow because you forgot how big your God is. Have you ever had a thought in the morning? You've been dreading something, and all of a sudden you've built that thing up so much in your mind. Come on, anybody else do that besides me? You've built it up so much in your mind, by the end of the day, it's a Goliath, it's a giant, it's a problem, it's something. And then there's a solution that comes to that, and you're thinking, man, that was not as hard as I thought it was. So many times, that's what we do with our problems and the things that we go through. We magnify them to the point where they're so big, and some of them are not even that big, but we've made them that big. Man, it's hot in here and it's sweaty. It's hoodie. Sweaty. Sweaty the swag. Here we go. Whew! No, ain't no shirt on. You don't want to see that. Fear grows when we focus on the problem instead of the problem solver. But when we start seeing God for who he is, like David did, Goliath ain't nothing but a thing. Come on. So many times we see our problems, and David looked at this man. He said, he ain't nothing but a thing. This giant this day, this problem this day, had just found a solution. It was in the solution of a 15 to 17-year-old boy. He was a shepherd. He had no battle experience. He was sent to feed his brothers. But what happens is, in this time, the underdog shows up. He comes on the scene, and he hears what's going on. Everyone is standing in fear, but here's what happened. David saw things differently. David didn't say, wow, he's big. David didn't say, OMG, he's skilled. I'm not very big, I'm very small. David didn't say, look at that spear, man, that thing is 13 feet long. David saw this giant not as an obstacle, but he saw it as an opportunity. He saw it as an opportunity to give God the glory in the battle. He said, how dare this guy talk about our God? Come on, we got to get a confidence inside of us to say, you talking about my God. He's the one that brought me through. He's the one that split my Red Sea. He's the one that brought me out of everything that I've been going through. How dare you speak against my God? The confidence didn't come from himself. It came from time. It came from preparation. It came from all the things that he had gotten from God while he had spent time in the wilderness, in the places, in the preparation places. Faith changes perspective. Faith makes you see things way differently. What other people call impossibilities, David and we can call opportunities or our assignment. You have an assignment. I said this a couple weeks ago. Your assignment may be sitting next to you. Maybe it's your husband nudging. Maybe it's your wife. She's nudging me hard up here. But maybe there's an assignment that God has for you at your workplace, like she said, is circle up. Maybe there's an assignment that God has called you to, and you're not looking at it as an assignment or an opportunity. You're looking at it as a discouragement. You're looking at it as a problem. You're looking at it as a, I just can't do that. But whatever everybody else calls impossible, God calls an opportunity. So David gets prepared to fight this warrior. Look at verse 40. I'm going to read you some Bible now. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. I'm going to have a weapon inventory, Dylan. I got a stick. He's fighting a warrior. I got a stick in my hand. I got a slingshot. And I got some rocks. Y'all aren't responding the way that I thought. I got a stick in my hand. I got a slingshot. And I got some rocks. That's better. What did those other soldiers think? This dude has lost his ever-loving mind. The time alone has finally got a lot. Maybe he had a little bit too much wine with the cheese he was bringing to his brothers. What in the world is going on with this boy? I'd be like, give me an AK, 50 caliber. You got a flamethrower around? Let me grab that thing too. I'm about to go face the giant. But here's the thing. He already had all that he needed to face the giant. You know why? Because David had fine-tuned his skills with what he had in the pasture. He looked at Moses one day, and Moses said, how can I go do what you said? What's in your hand? So many times we forget about what's in our hand. We forget about what's in our heart. We forget about what's in our mind. We forget about the discouragement that God has turned into encouragement. What do you have? David said, I fine-tuned all of my skills out in the pasture. Nobody was watching me. I had to learn on my own. He said, Dylan, he went ninja with that stick. He threw rocks for hours upon hours upon hours. But most of all, he learned how to depend on God. Not everything that he knew. Listen to me on this one. The season you're in right now, y'all got to hear this one. The season you're in right now will produce the weapon that you need for the future. You know what your weapon is? Your weapon is your warfare. It's your praise, but it's also your testimony. So many discount what God has done in our lives. So many discount our testimony to other people. But God has done something for you, not just for you, for someone else. Cam Maitland, y'all, before you came to church, you really didn't know a whole lot about God, but what has he done now? You're leading our, well, we're taking a little hiatus because they're about to have a baby, but they're leading our marriage crew with awesomeness, if that's a good word. But they've come so far and so long, they haven't understood everything, but they've asked questions. And let me tell you what, sometimes God can do, if you're willing, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have a Bible theology. You don't have to have all the college degrees to know. Sometimes you just got to know and depend on God. His season of preparation was about to pay off. So David goes out to meet the giant. Goliath sees him coming. I told this is funny. I got the chance to talk to the Fern Creek football team like years ago. I told them the story. I had 40 or 50 kids there on the football team. Half of them had never heard this story. And I was like, how bad is that? That, you know, this generation right now has never heard many of these stories. But David goes out to meet this giant, and Goliath is ticked off. He said, you sent a boy to do a man's job? But what he did is he underestimated who he was about to fight, because he saw a boy coming. So in your winning season, you have to, number 3, speak to your giant. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. You got all the weapons, but I got the main weapon. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. It's not what you got. It's not your sword. It's not your spear. It's not your javelin. It's not in the name of your experience or your talent or your position. Don't place your hope in what you can do. Because when you take matters into your own hands, you take them out of God's hands. It's not about what you got. It's about who you got. You need to remember that sometimes when we're thinking about the things we don't have. It's who you got. He said, "I come to you in the name of the Lord." And when he said that, you got to understand that his name changes things. If you don't know anything else to pray, I went through a season in my life where I was having a hard time with my prayer life. And I was like, and he said, just say the name of Jesus. Just say the name of Jesus. Because it says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess at the name of Jesus. So if you don't know what to pray, pray Jesus. Jesus over my kids. Jesus over my finances. Jesus over my job. In the name of Jesus. His name changes things, and his name takes you from being the underdog to the top dog. Hey. Here's what David realized, though. He wasn't fighting his battle. He was fighting God's battle. 1 Samuel 17 says this, "This day," here's David, listen to him, man. "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. And I will strike you and I will take your head. From this day I will give the carcass to the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David said, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand." He's talking smack because he knows who's on his side. Remember the story about the bully I told a while back? We could talk smack as long as my big cousin was standing in front of me. I was like, "Yeah, what he said." We had a boy that, I'm going to tell it again. We had a boy that I guess he failed three or four grades. I don't know. And he was in sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. He was bigger than all of us. He's meaner than all of us. He was all tatted up. And he was like, I think he was, no. Hey, oh, let me back up. But that's when tattoos weren't like, everybody has a tattoo now. But he was scary. We were all like 12 and 13 years old. He was like 16 and still in like the seventh grade. So what happened was we went to high school the next year. And I had a cousin. That boy was bad. And so when we got to high school, my cousin was a sophomore. And he said, "When he gets there, point him out to me." I was like, "Amen." Me and my little cousin said, "I'm going to point him out to you." And my cousin looked at him like, "Him?" It's like, "Yeah, him." So he went over to him. And he intimidated him, but me and my little cousin was standing behind him going, "Yeah, yeah, what he says, what he says, what he says." But that's how we can do with God. Yeah. We can get behind God and say, "This is the God who fights my battles, who goes ahead of me." I can stand and be confident behind my God and say, "Oh, ain't none but things coming at me right now." God's going to fight for you. All it takes is his presence. And what Goliath couldn't see is he couldn't see God standing with David. Verse 47. "Then all the assembly shall know that God does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." Sometimes we got to tell ourselves that each and every day. The battle is the Lord's. "And he will give you into my hands." So it was when the Philistines arose and they came and they drew near to meet David. Listen to this. David hurried and he ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. What if God allowed certain things in your life to prepare you for something that you never imagined? David realized all his trials, all of his troubles, all of his time, all of his preparation. They were training for the point that he was about to take on right now. Come on, don't discourage the process. Because there's a process you're going through right now. Don't get discouraged if you're trying to have a baby. Stay in the process. Hey, I spoke that a few months ago and we had a bunch of babies come, a bunch of people get pregnant. Stay in the process. But so many times we get out of the process, we start seeing who our giant is and we make him bigger than what he is. But when David realized it was training, Goliath started walking and David started running. So many times we stand still when a problem comes towards us. It's because we forget who's on our side. David, oh, come on, y'all. I'm already sweating. It don't matter. David saw him coming. Goliath just kind of walking out there like, David's like, no. Sometimes you got to run at your problem instead of run away from your problem. So many times we run away from our problems, and God says, if you'll get behind, if you know who's in front of you, if you know who's with you, you're going to run and face that problem. And I'm telling you right now, you got a problem in your life right now. God is calling you to run straight at it. Don't look back and don't wonder how he's going to do it, because he's just going to do it. Don't wear a hoodie. When Goliath started walking, David started running. Why? Because number four, in your winning season, you just got to increase your faith. Listen to this part. Then David put his hand in his bag and he took out a stone and he slung it. And he struck the Philistine in the forehead so that the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on the face of the earth. David was skilled. Through many, many, many rocks out there in those times in the wilderness. But sometimes you just got to sling it. Sometimes you just got to sling it, David, and trust God where it's going. And let it go. So many times in our life, we try to aim our way. David could have said, man, I remember hitting that rock, that target 100 times. I believe this is the time David started running towards him with that sling going just like that. And I believe when he let it go, I don't know the distance, but I believe he let it go and it just went. And David said, I don't know what I'm aiming at, but I know who's aiming that. Sometimes you just got to have the faith to sling it. Sometimes we try to rely on our own wisdom, our own influence, our own connections, our own money. And we take matters into our own hands. And we handle it out of our brokenness. We don't do the work we need to get healed and restored. I'm just telling you, do the work and allow God to do the work in you. But even when you do all the work, sometimes you just have to have the faith to sling it and trust God to handle it correctly. Even when you don't understand, you don't understand everything about faith. That's what faith is. It's trust in God, saying, God, I don't know where I'm going, I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I know that if I have faith in you, I'm going to do the things I know I need to do. So here he was. I'm just imagining David. We will rock you. Come on. We will rock you. Oh, y'all are too saved in here. Come on, that was good. Y'all know it. That rock hit that giant and he fell. Can I tell you something this morning? Let this sink in. Not like the rock, but let it sink in. That giant ain't big when he's laying on the ground. He's not 9 feet tall when he's all sprawled out on the ground. And the rock that God aimed into your situation hit the mark. Come on. The Bible says the enemy is what? Under our feet. When God fights for you, one stone is enough. He took five. That's another rest of the story. But David had the confidence that when he pulled that one stone out, When he had the faith to fling it, he said, God, I don't need these other four for right now. You got a mission that these other four are going to take on. But I'm trusting you in the moment with this one rock right now. Verse 50, I'm almost done. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone. For what? He had no sword. This is good. Y'all pay attention. Then David ran over and pulled Goliath's sword out of the sheath. And David used it to kill him and cut off his head. When the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they all turned and ran. The giant's weapon, The giant's weapon of destruction was used against him. Y'all ain't getting it. I'm trying to put this the right way. Just sling it. I'm about to sling it. He used what you thought would destroy you. He used what you thought was insurmountable, impossible. He used that thing against the, he used that weapon against the enemy. So I'm telling you, David didn't have a sword, but he had a God. David didn't have a sword, but he had a faith. David had a sword, didn't have a sword, but he knew what he knew that he knew that he knew. Sometimes we just got to have faith to fling it. God will use that thing that the enemy tried to destroy you with to destroy the enemy. Come on, those of you who've had a rough life and you've went through some things in your life, I've said it before, I'll say it again because it's worth repeating. Your testimony is going to help somebody to get free. Hey, that all rhymed. It's the truth. What you saw that was almost going to kill you 10, 15, 20 years ago, you're going to find a strength inside of you to be able to speak to someone, to speak to their giant and say, you know what? I faced that giant about 20 years ago. And let me tell you what, he ain't nothing but a thing now. We got to have that kind of faith, faith to fling it. Remember, God used weapons, not like our weapons. She said it earlier, not the weapons that we choose. The weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they're spiritual. What you have now is your weapon. It's your experience. It's your story. It's your testimony. And what you've learned, I wrote this down because it was me. You might have learned the hard way. You're going to learn today. You might have learned it the hard way. That doesn't mean God can't use it. That doesn't mean that God can't take a hard-headed human like her. Like me. I got outnumbered on the front row. How does the story end? That night in Rupp Arena, Villanova took down the giant. That day on the battlefield, that boy took down a giant. God takes the ordinary and he makes it extraordinary. Isaac, you sent this to me years ago. I found it. Isaac Neal said, David is living proof that all it takes is one generation to shut the mouth, come on, of the giant that's paralyzed all the other generations. All it takes is one voice. Thank you, Isaac. All it takes is one young generation. All these men are in fear back here. And this boy stand up and said, man, that's my guy. Why should I be fearful? He takes the underdog and makes him a champion. If y'all would stand with me, please. I saw this quote. It's good. If there's a Goliath in front of you, there's a David inside of you. That was so good. If there's a Goliath in front of you, if there's a problem in front of you, if there's anything you seem is impossible, there's a David inside of you. Sometimes you got to use your preparation time. Sometimes you got to use your things that you've learned through the school of hard knocks. I don't have a theology degree. Neither does my lovely wife. She's got a college degree. I don't even have that. But I've had that said to me a few times. But I think God sometimes, and should I learn more? Yes, ever learning. But I think sometimes the school of hard knocks is one of those things you can be able to speak to someone. My dad always told me, he said, I don't want nobody that never had an experience to try to minister to me. He said, because what can they tell me? He said, I want that person. I remember him telling me, I want that person that's been down, out, all of the rough things of life. I want them to be able to speak to me because you know why? Because they've been there and they've done that. I want you to say this morning, I'm going to leave my giant here today. I'm going to leave my problem here today. I'm going to leave my past here today. I'm going to leave my hurt. Come on, fill in the blank. I want to leave that here today. I want to lay it at the foot of the cross. I want to lay it at the altar and say, God, I don't want to take this up anymore. I'm going to lay it down as a sign. I'm just going to walk. I want you to walk to this front and say, when you walk, it's like David walking out there. He didn't run. He walked. He ran to the Goliath. He ran to the problem. This morning, as a sign, walk, run to this problem. There's going to be people up here to pray with you, but sometimes you just got to talk to your own problem. Yeah. We can pray with you, but until you get a mindset of saying, okay, God, I need my mind changed today. I don't want to think the way that I think anymore. I don't need nobody laying hands on me today. I need to lay hands on my own head. And I need to understand, God, you are in control. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, hey, He's a giant killer of your sins. He went to the cross. He took everything for you so you don't have to keep living in the past. You don't have to keep living in regret and shame and all of the above. He says, bring it to Him. Just said, confess it to Him. Can I tell you something? He already knows it. He already knows what you're going through. He already knows the past. He already knows those things. So confess it to Him. Say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for my failures. I want to be on your side. Because when I'm on your side, I win. Let's not leave here today talking about our problems. Let's leave here today talking about the one who's on our side. He's undefeated. I wrote this down today. David wrote, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. David wrote that. And he may have wrote it. He wrote it before he ever met this giant. And he knew that he was going to face something in the future. He knew that he was going to walk in the valley of the shadow of death. But he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Make a table in the presence of my enemies. Everybody going to see me sit down and eat. David had the confidence to say those things because he knew God was with him. The Bible says the God is our refuge. He's our strength. He's our ever, ever present time and help. I also love, if he's for us, who can be against us? You want to be on the winning team? Get on God's team. Come on, I got one more quote and I'm done. This came from Destiny Fellowship. It's who we're involved with. It's who our covering is. The most effective weapon, I'm going to read, this is my part. The most effective weapon the enemy has is keeping you from not showing up to the battle. Sometimes we just got to get up and we got to show up. But listen to this quote. The secret of David's victory wasn't in how he fought. It was in how he thought. His mind was renewed because he knew he was in covenant with God. And he knew he had been anointed to fight this battle. And no giant was big enough to keep him from his victory. They're about to sing a song here. This is how I fight my battles. We do that through praise. We do that through worship. We do that through faith. We do that by believing God's going to take care of it. So this morning, I'm asking you this morning, as I take this iPad up, make a walk to the front. Talk to your giant. Speak to your giant. Say, giant, you've been speaking to me too long. I'm about to talk to you now. And you know why I'm going to talk to you? Because I know there's a God that's going to meet me right here. Come on, make your way up here. Speak to that giant.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.